to our NFL ESPN insider, Adam Schefter, joins us each and every week, presented by your Front Range Mercedes-Benz dealers. He joins us now. And Adam, I don't know if you heard the end of that conversation, talking about Vic Fangio defending Garrett Bowles' role in that holding call that negated the big pass play to Emmanuel Sanders. It seems to Tommy Nalen and to Mark Schlereth, a couple guys who know a little something about offensive line play, that Vic Fangio's kind of defending the indefensible here. What's your read on it?
Listen, you could call holding off a lot, and these guys are much more experts in offensive line play than me, but Vic's job is to defend his players. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing in this particular case. I'll leave the offensive line judgments to guys who have played it, not observed it.
Yeah, I guess the only issue that I have is this has been going on for a couple of years, and obviously this kid has just been in over his head. And you know, I'm not even, like, Mike and I were talking, like, I don't even feel like, I don't want to bash him. Like, he is what he is. He struggled. He's a first rounder that hasn't played well enough. He's made the same mistakes over and over again. At some point, you know, when you get into this, Adam, you got to quit blaming the player, and you got to start blaming the organization for, one, continue to run him out there. I mean,
Stink. What I would hope here, and I would imagine what they hope here, is that when you hire somebody like Mike Munchak to work with these guys, that sometimes a coach can help elevate a play from an offensive lineman who's not playing the way you want to, where it's at a serviceable level. And so I think that they have to put some faith here in Mike Munchak to elevate that guy's level of play and hope it's enough.
All right, let's bounce around the NFL. We got some topics to get to that we've been discussing. Want to get your thought. How does it all shake out in Dallas with all these players who want to get paid?
Well, you know, I thought Jalen Smith did a smart thing. He took basically his slices of pizza from a full pizza pie before anyone else bit into it. And that's basically what it comes down to. And now there are other players who have to do something similar. And Zeke obviously wants a huge piece of the pie. Dak wants a huge piece of the pie. Amari Cooper would like a piece of the pie. Byron Jones would like a piece of the pie. And there's just not enough slices to go around for these guys. So the Cowboys feel like, hey, we need you to work with us. Whereas players think, I only care about me, which is what they should be thinking. Zeke shouldn't be concerned that Dak takes less or vice versa. They have to do, I think, what's best for them. Zeke right now is in Cabo. He's training. I think we're about to enter a critical stretch there. I just think there's too much at stake for both sides not to eventually get something done, whether that's a week from now or 2 weeks from now or a week into the season. I think that's still going to be written. But listen, we're at a point now on the NFL calendar where things start to really happen. If you go back to last year at this time, after the third preseason game, right around the fourth preseason game, in a 24 to 48-hour span, we saw Aaron Donald and a summer-long holdout with a new deal. We saw the Oakland Raiders trade Khalil Mack, who held out all summer, to the Chicago Bears. We saw Teddy Bridgewater traded to the New Orleans Saints. And I remember this 24-hour period because I was taking my son to college and the news just kept coming. And we're going to get a week like that or a period like that here in the next couple of weeks where I'll bet Zeke gets a new deal. Melvin Gordon gets a new deal. Julio Jones gets a new deal. Dak Prescott gets a new deal. Jadeveon Clowney comes into camp. Like, there are a lot of things here that are going to unfold in the next week to two. And it all has to happen because there's a sense of urgency now that didn't exist for the last 3 weeks since camp opened. But with each day that passes right now, leading up to that final roster cutdown day, you're going to see more and more activity, I believe.
What would be, like, okay, let's say Dak, you know, plays the season, has a good season, leads the Cowboys to the playoffs, whatever. What do you think his value is on the open market? And if they had to franchise him, what's the value of the franchise tag?
Yeah. Well, Stink, I think he'll do a new deal before the season begins because he has to. He's supposed to make $2 million. He's never gotten a big football contract. He's in the state of Texas with no state tax. There's no reason for him not to do a new contract before this deal starts. But on your scenario where he went in, played a good year, they went into the playoffs, I don't think his market value be any more or less. I think his market value, oddly enough, is in the 30s. Now, you could say, well, he's not worth it. Well, that's the quarterback market value. That's what Carson Wentz got. Jared Goff is going to get somewhere in there when he gets a new deal. And Dak Prescott, I'll bet, gets in that range too. So, again, the numbers on these things just keep going up. They don't go down. And the same is going to be true for Dak. And so it would be good for him to get the deal done because he wants the money. It'd be good for Dallas to get the deal done because the prices of these things just goes up. And like I said, I think we're going to see over the next 9 days a huge amount of NFL activity.
Visit with Adam Schefter. Is Baker Mayfield the villain or the victim in all this?
You know, let me tell you something. I saw where he said it was taken out of context, okay? How can you take out of context the simple fact where he says, I couldn't believe they took him, my mind was blown? Let's just take those two sentences. How is that taken out of context?
Yeah, I don't know that. You can't. I mean, you said it. You feel bad about saying it. You know, you were having a larger conversation, but you did say it.
You said it, okay? And so the point there is, okay, you know, where some people, they checked on the second part of it, system query. Okay, fine. Let's not even put that in the conversation. Let's just stick to the two sentences he said. I can't believe they took him. My mind was blown. You know, I just think as a general rule, the more you talk about players on another team in a non-positive way, the more questions are going to be hurled at you. Now, listen, I know what people say. Oh, that's what everybody felt. What's Baker Mayfield saying, right? Well, it's okay for you guys in your jobs or me in my job to say, I can't believe the Giants did that. My mind is blown. That's our job. It's a fan's job. That's what fans do. When it comes from one of your brethren, someone who plays that position, someone who's a first-round pick, it's a different deal. It's just different. It's just different. It's like, you know what? I mean, it's just you don't go there. And now listen, he has made his living on or part of his reputation on the fact that he's outspoken, he's brash, he wakes up feeling dangerous, all those things. He's a great quarterback. We're not debating that. We're debating when it would be right to be more measured in your words. Like this case right here. And somewhere along the way, when GQ became the unofficial magazine of the Cleveland Browns, interviewing every one of these guys and getting them to say something controversial, what good does that do to that team? What good?
Yeah, I don't know what good it does. And then you've got, you know, Freddie Kitchens got to do what he's got to do about the targets and all this and that and the other. But I will tell you this, and I just want your opinion because you've covered this league for a long time. Like, I know the Browns are talented. I did one of their games last year, Adam, and they're an exceptionally talented football team. I just worry about the hype. I worry about the believability, you know, where they're coming out and all the garbage, like they lead the league in stupid quotes. I mean, I just feel like this is not going to go as well as everybody feels like it's going to go. What's your opinion on the Browns?
Listen, they still have to prove that and show that that's the case. And I think that is the concern right now, Stink, that all the hype and all the expectations are not going to be lived up to because they're so busy doing some of these things, like you're saying. And, you know, back to Baker Mayfield and tying together our first topic of the show and what we're talking about right now. If you said Garrett Bowles hasn't been what Broncos fans had hoped, okay, no problem with that. But all of a sudden, if Russell Okung said Garrett Bowles hasn't been what people hoped, would that make a headline? You know, another offensive lineman in the division said that, you just pick an offensive lineman. He said Garrett Bowles has been a disappointment.
Right. If you went to the Saints and said, and Ramczyk came out and go, can you believe they took that guy in front of me? I went after Garrett Bowles. Like, there that would be controversy.
Look, it's just naive to think that it was taken out of it. No, it was not taken out of it. You said that. So, again, the Browns fans will defend him. He'll defend himself. There's no defending talking about another player in a negative way if you're not willing to own up to it and discuss it. Period.
Visit with Adam Schefter. Adam, kind of off out of left field question here for you. We were joking earlier about the team names that the XFL franchises have come up with. When you talk to NFL people, how do they view these wannabe competitor leagues, the AAFs, the XFLs of the world? How do they look at them?
Well, to me, I think there's a spot for some of them, one of them, but I don't know that any one of them has hit it with the right formula yet. I mean, they're all searching for what's going to work. I think there's a need for it. I think fans gravitate towards it. It's never going to be huge, but I think that there's a niche audience that would follow it, observe it, track it. They just haven't come up with the right combination. I think the AAF was on to something. They just had a terrible business plan, and it didn't work out money-wise. But while we're on the topic of XFL, you know, if they had a Denver team, to me it would be the Denver Stinking Good Chilies. That's what I would call them.
Yeah. You know what, Adam? I'm going to cry. Hey, man. Hey, Adam, thanks so much for joining us. You're always the best, man. We really appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Enjoy the third week of the preseason, and we'll be in touch next Thursday.
All right. There he is, Adam Schefter, our NFL ESPN insider. He is brought to us by Front Range Mercedes-Benz Dealers.